All right, grab a seat, grab a seat, grab a seat. Grab a seat. I'm glad you guys are here tonight. Listen, we're going to cover a lot of scripture. We're going to go into all of 25 tonight. We're going to talk about three things that the Lord's pointing out about his kingdom and his return. And then we're going to end. But before we do that, I want to say Friday. Well, actually, let me say it this way. Tomorrow night, we're going out and doing homeless ministry with our girl, Olivia and Sam. I want you to come out. And India, thank you. And not Rashawn, because he's going to be working. But India, you're taking his spot. Is that correct? If you have nothing to do, tomorrow night, 6:30, we're hitting the streets to go minister to those in homeless. Friday is prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you. If you haven't been praying and fasting with us, if you don't make a lifestyle practice of fasting, I want to encourage you on Friday. As a church, we fast, we pray. We're going to come together. We're partnering with Run with Christ. It's a group chat of 800 people. They're having a worship night here, 7 p.m. on Friday night. It's going to be really incredible. We're going to spend our prayer and fasting time with them right here in the sanctuary. We'll be partnering with Upper Room Atlanta as well, from what I understand. And then on Sunday's church, and then next Wednesday, there is no Wednesday night service. You guys catch all that? Tomorrow night, homeless ministry. Friday is prayer and fasting. Next Wednesday, there is no service. And then we'll pick it up after the week after that. Is that cool? You guys catch that? That's great. If you didn't, Church Center app will have those notifications for you. If you have your Bible, I want you to open up Matthew 24. I'm going to have to go fast because I got 30 minutes to cover this. But I want to continue from what we were talking about last week. Last week, Jesus is talking about the end times. He's talking about his return. He's talking about when he comes, what we should be looking for, what signs. And he goes into, in Matthew 24, I've got to recap this. He tells a parable about this king, this homeowner, who leaves someone over a watch over his home. And I'm actually just going to read it. It's not going to be on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, I'm in Matthew chapter 24. And I want to go to verse 42. He says, "So you too must keep watch," talking about his return, "for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." Check this out, verse 45. "A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all he owns." Listen to verse 48. "But what if the servant is evil?" Everyone say evil. That was not everyone, but thank you. You tried. "What if the servant is evil and thinks, 'My master won't be back for a while,' and he begins beating the other servants, partying, getting drunk? The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces and assign him to a place where the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now listen, I talked about this last week, but this is connected to Matthew 25, and you have to catch this. Jesus, talking about his return, says, there's a faithful servant who will treat the other servants of the master really well. He will feed them. He will take care of them. And when the father comes back or the master returns, the master will look at that servant and give him a great reward. But he says, but if they're evil, he'll think to himself, he's not coming back. I could treat others how I like to treat them. And then right afterwards, because I'm going to read a lot, so I want you to pay attention. Matthew 25, verse 1 says, immediately, he doesn't stop talking. He says, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish." Everyone say foolish. "Five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for the lamps. But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were aroused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.' But the Lord called back and said, 'Believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. Again, he says, without any pause, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant who had 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from the trip and called them to give an account of how they used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount. Now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Verse 22, the servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. Verse 23, the master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you did not cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I had harvested crops, I didn't plant and gather crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I would have gotten some interest. Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But those who do nothing, even what they have, will be taken away." Check this out, verse 30. "Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That is insane. Jesus talking about his return. Remember, this is from last week. He said, "I'm returning. I want you to watch out for me. I'm coming back." And this is the signs. He gives all these signs. And then he ends with these 3 parables. And he says, let me just tell you what the kingdom of God is like. The first one we just talked about. This wicked servant who says, God's not coming back anytime soon. How many of you guys have heard, how many of you guys were raised in church? Anyone in here raised in church? How many of you guys have always heard that God's coming back, right? You've heard that from day one. And how many of you guys have ever thought every single generation has said he's coming back this generation? You guys heard that? Yeah. And what do you start thinking? You start thinking, he's not coming back. And so what do? We prepare our lives. Now, I don't need to talk about this because I talked a lot about it last week. But he looks at that and says, just a heads up, the one who stops believing that I'm going to return, they're evil. This is an evil one. This is how evil people think. And so they're not going to show up. And so how does that person treat other people? Beats them, robs them, parties, gets drunk is what it says. He said that one right there is going to go to hell when the master returns. The whole parable is about when I show back up, there's going to be a guy who thought I wasn't going to show back up. And so he acted like an idiot. He was wicked and evil. And then he says in this next one, where we're at in verse 25, he says, there's another group of people, wise people and foolish people. The foolish ones do not prepare for what is coming. Now I'm going to say this. It does not call these women wicked. It calls them foolish. And you know what he says? He says, foolish people, I'm going to return and the foolish ones are going to be locked out of my kingdom. Those who are not wise, those who heard wisdom in the streets crying out to them and ignored it. I don't think I do this enough, but I need to say it to you right now. We need to put an emphasis of wisdom in the church to you. Wisdom is a serious matter. In fact, this scripture says there's the wise virgins, there's 5 wise ones and 5 foolish ones. The wise ones, what do? They have oil in reserve ready for the midnight hour in case he shows back up. They believed what the Lord had said and they prepared for it. And he says, man, when I show back up, this is what it's going to be like. Those dark, dark hours that he talked about in chapter 24. He said, those dark hours, there's going to be these foolish ones who didn't prepare themselves in the daytime. When everything was good, when your life was all gravy, you had your day-to-day. How many of you guys love your job? Anyone in here love your job? Okay, wow, that is a big deal. How many of you guys hate your job? One of us? Okay, all right. You work for me. Chill out, dude. Okay, the other job. Okay. Thank goodness. Jeez. Now look, man, he says, man, everything's good. These foolish virgins, they're enjoying their day. In the daytime, they're not feeling like they need any of their oil. In fact, they're so foolish that when it comes into the midnight hour, when everybody's asleep, by the way, even the wise ones, they're asleep and they hear this big shout, hey, the bridegroom's coming. This is the sign. This is the time. It says the foolish ones wake up and they're unprepared for his return. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt like I'm not ready for him to come back yet? You ever felt that before? Three of us? I've been many times in my life where I seriously thought, I don't think I'm ready. When I was a kid, every time I came home from school and my parents were there, because I grew up in the church and I used to watch the Left Behind series. You guys know what I'm talking about? I remember thinking when I'd come home and they weren't home, I missed the rapture. That's what I thought. Did you guys ever think that? I missed it. I got left behind. And there's always this little bit of fear in my heart that, man, I'm not ready. And I know what it was. I know what that fear is. It's not fear that I'm so wicked. It's always been a fear that I didn't get serious about his return. It's always been the same thing, that I didn't seriously take his warning to me that he's going to return and that no one's going to be ready for it. There's not going to be a day or a time that you're going to be able to say, I know he's showing up so I could get ready now. He says he comes in the middle of the night while everybody's asleep. And he says, man, I'm going to show up and there's going to be foolish people. So the first one is wicked people. I don't believe he's coming back. The second one is foolish people. They know he's coming back, but they don't prepare themselves. I'm just going to tell you right now, this one right here, I believe is a message for most of us. I don't think most of you guys are wicked, beating his other servants, getting drunk. I think most of us in this room believe he's coming back, but we're not prepared for it because we think it's far off. And we think we're having another night to sleep, and that we're having another day to party, and we're having another night to sleep, and we don't need to be fully prepared. And we got some oil, but we know we don't have enough oil to make it through the midnight hour. And then he goes into one more, and this last one really bothers me, because I've read this parable as a parable standing alone, but I never read it as a part of his dialogue of the end times. He says, the kingdom of God is also like this in the end. I'm going to give every single one of you something to take care of in this life. Every single one of you, he says, that's what I've done. And he says, when I return, I'm going to be looking at every servant of mine. And I'm going to take account for what they did with what I gave to them. And every one of my servants better show back up and say, I put some work in with what you gave to me. I did some stuff. You know, the first one I invested, the second one I invested. But then you read about this last one real quick, because I just want to make this real clear. This last guy, he comes in with an excuse. Master, I know what you gave to me, but I was afraid. I know who you are. And what does the Lord say in verse 26? You are lazy. You're lazy. You're wicked and you're lazy. And then what does he say? He says, this one needs to be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus gives us three parables and tells us, hey, I want you to know, the wise will make it. The servant who treats others well will make it. The one who isn't lazy will make it. But these are the ones who won't make it. The ones who don't think I'm going to show up, the fool and the lazy. They will not enter into my kingdom. Now, I'm reading these scriptures. I'm going to just be honest with you. I was getting convicted because I'm thinking, God, I want to be prepared for your return. And so I started thinking, what does it look like to be prepared for his return? Like, what does it look like for you to get ready about him when he's sitting here and he's putting out warnings going, hey, these are the signs and you need to be prepared in the midnight hour. You know, we read in chapter 24, he says, you don't know the day or the hour. If you did, you'd prepare yourself, but you don't. So you got to be ready all the time. What does it look like? What does it look like to be like somebody who is ready for his return according to Christ? Let me tell you. There is no more excuse for your laziness in your Christian walk. Let me just hit on something really quick. Laziness is always coupled with a justification. So I got to kind of break this down. So give me a second. I hope this works. How many of you guys have ever met someone who's lazy? Anyone in here? Okay, what do you notice about lazy people? They always have a reason why they can't do the work. Lazy people always have, in Proverbs, it says this, the lazy person says, I can't go out and work. Why? Because there's a lion in the street, he might get me. It's always a justifiable reason. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know the work I'm supposed to do, but I got a reason why I can't do it. And Jesus looks at this guy, and that was exactly what he does, by the way. Jesus, I know that you're tough. Jesus, I know that you're a strong master, and you come and you take what's not yours. And so I was afraid, and what does he do? He gives him an excuse for why he didn't put in the work. You know what's crazy about that? Is how often I hear people, I want to pray, but I just have XYZ excuse. Man, I want to read the Word of God, but I just don't have no time. And, it's real tiring, and sometimes I just don't get it. And what do I hear? I hear a bunch of lazy Christians go, I want to do what God's called me to do, but man, there's a line outside, so I can't go do the work. Man, I want to do what God's called me to do. And I'm going to be real with you. Until I realized that laziness was actually just a reason, laziness is actually just justifiable no work. That's what it is, right? Once I realized that all my excuses were actually just me being lazy, I'm going to tell you, I started putting a work in my life. I don't have to tell you that. I started deciding, I don't care what my day looks like. I'm going to read the Bible every day. How many of you guys have the Bible app? Anyone in here got the Bible app? Did you know it has a streak for you? It could tell you how many times you read the Bible every day. You should pull up your Bible app right now and look. Go ahead and look at it right now. Go ahead. You'll probably feel bad about yourself. If you don't use the Bible app, kudos to you. That's tight. You read the actual Bible, that's good for you. Now listen, he says, man, I'm going to tell you right now, when I return, the foolish, the wicked, and the lazy, I'm going to reject. The foolish, the wicked, and the lazy. I think most of us have been focusing on the wicked, but you've been excusing your laziness. I think most of us have been focused on, I'm not going to do wickedness, but you've been dwelling in foolishness, not taking his word seriously. Laziness, not putting in the work with everything that he's given to you. And I just want to make this clear. In your head, you're justified for not doing the work. I'm saying that because I tell you that you're lazy, and nobody who's lazy says they're lazy. I just want you to know that. The reason why I asked you, how many of you guys know someone who's lazy? Because if I asked, if you're lazy in this house, one of you would say, and you're probably the hardest working person in here. Because you will never admit that you're lazy, because all your laziness has been justified. God, I know who you are. That's why I didn't want to do this. Father, I tried to preach the gospel like you told me to, but my workplace said I couldn't, Father. So, Master, I wanted to obey you, but I couldn't. God, I wanted to read the word, but man, I was just so tired. And plus, it was hard for me to read. Father, I wanted to spend time in prayer. I wanted to fast, Father, but I just couldn't. And what do? You excuse over and over. God, I wanted to be someone who participated in the fellowship, but I'm just an introvert, so it was very hard for me. And the Father says, no, that's laziness. All your excuses were laziness. But then let me end on foolishness for a second, because this one really gets me a lot, man. Because, we talked about this on Sunday, foolishness and wickedness, and how, foolishness will always lead to wickedness. It will always lead to your destruction. But foolishness, taking light the word of God. Gosh, man, I can't tell you how often. I'll just use me, because you could use yourself in your own mind. I've dismissed the word of God, or I've downplayed the word of God, or I've made jokes on the word of God, and it's just me being foolish with it. I'll even in my own head think to myself, I have enough in me to make it through the midnight hour, but I know that I don't, because I can see the sins in my heart. I'm not ready for that. And Jesus says, man, this end times, I want you to know something. These guys will not enter in. I used to read this parable, by the way, both of all these parables, as some individual sermon, not recognizing God saying, this is a warning to you and me. This is a warning to you that when I return, I'm looking for the wise. I'm looking for those. And how do you get wisdom? You guys remember how you get wisdom? James, you ask for it. When's the last time you stopped and you said, Father, you said if I ask for wisdom, you'll give it to me. I need wisdom right now. The book of Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, literally says that there's wisdom crying out in the street, but you ain't listening to it. It says she's crying out, speaking. It's the same wisdom that sat with the Father in creation. He says wisdom cries out in the street, but you won't listen to it because you're too busy listening to everybody else. He says, no, I'm coming back for those who are wise, who see the signs and prepare themselves. Don't dismiss it because everyone else is dismissing it. Doesn't listen to everybody else, but says, Father, I want to listen to your spirit. What is wisdom? What do you want? Man, he says, man, the foolish, man, these guys who are going, man, the wise who are saying, no, I will not be unprepared in the midnight hour. Let me actually explain something really with wisdom and foolishness. Does anyone pack their bag right before you go on vacation? Does anyone in here do that? Like, I like to pack my bag like 2 minutes before we leave. I don't know why. It's stupid. And this is what I do every time I pack my bag right before I leave. I overpack non-essentials, and I usually miss the essentials. Literally, last time I went on a trip, or two times ago, because I just went on one, I had like, it was a two-day trip. I had like 6 pairs of underwear and no toothbrush. That's what I did. Because I packed quickly, in the end, instead of having wisdom, I was foolish. And you know what I did? I wasted my time the night before. I wasted my time doing what? I sat on Instagram Reels, I was watching TikToks, and I was wasting my time knowing what was coming up, but I was too foolish to prepare for it. And so what did I do? And that's such low stakes, right? It's such low stakes, packing the last minute. But that's what foolishness is, understanding that there's something coming up and then not going and building, preparing for yourself. And the Lord's looking at the scriptures. He says, I want you guys to know, man, two people will be together. One will be wise, one will be a fool. One will be wicked, one will be a good servant who takes care of other people. One will be someone who is not lazy, and the other one will be hardworking. One will be lazy. He says, they'll be together and they'll be taken. Now, I want to get to this last part of 25, because I'm killing it. I'm so happy. It says this in verse 31. In the same breath, he says, but when the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, then he'll sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the sheep, the righteous ones, will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to the least of these of my brothers and my sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brother and sisters, you are refusing to help me. And they will go away and into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Verse 26 just says, and when he finished these things, he said to his disciples, Passover is coming. I seriously probably read more Bible than you've read today, and I hope that you read more of your Bible. I don't know the last time you came to church and we read a whole chapter of the Bible. But literally, I'm reading this thing. I'm looking at it going, the Father has made it abundantly clear who he's coming back for. He's coming back for, and I want you to hear me when I say this. He is not coming back for people who are good at attending services. He's not just coming back for people who are good at beautiful prayers in a group, which I know we concern ourselves with. He's not even coming back for people who could put on a good show, who are great pastors or speaking real well. He's not coming back for people who know how to put on the best performance. He's coming back for people who are humble and will say, you know what, Father? I want to do your will and whatever it takes. And they take the gospel of Christ with full seriousness, sincerity, going, this thing's real. I'm going to dive all the way in. And there will be people who say, you know what? I'm going just to do whatever it takes, Father. I will be wise. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to put my entire life on this thing. I'm going to put all my work into this. Father, I'm going to make sure that everything you give to me, I'm going to do something with. Father, whatever that is you give to me, if it's a family, Jesus, if it's a job, Father, whatever you've given to me, I want to make it worthwhile for you. Father, if it's friendship, I'm going to turn it into something. Man, God, I'm going to be the one who puts in all the work. And he says at the very end, he says, man, I'm going to just tell you right now, when people see me in my glory, I'm going to look at them and say, this is what I was looking for. Did you take care of my brothers and my sisters? Did you take care of those around you? Did you take care of my, and I want you guys to read this again, verse 40, take the least of these, my brothers and sisters. You know what a lot of us have done? We stopped caring for our brothers and sisters and we decided to go out into the world. And we said, let's make it all about evangelism. We said, let's go take care. And there's nothing wrong with this. We do this every Thursday night. I'm a big believer, so I feel like liberty to speak on this. A lot of us have exchanged taking care of our brothers and sisters in the church, those who are broken, offended, and sin. And what we've done to make ourselves feel better, we use the scripture, Matthew 25, and we say, let's go to the heathen who's broken and take care of him instead. And what we do is we abandon the brother and sister who's in financial trouble right now, who's naked and poor. We don't like when we see people in the church who are going, yeah, but I'm struggling financially, we scoff at them. And we go, man, what's your problem? What are you doing? Why don't you get your money straight? And then we pat ourselves on the back because we go out to the addict on the street who hates God most of the time, right? We go, well, let's talk to you. And I want to make this clear. I believe in evangelism. We should go out and preach the gospel. But the scripture's looking at you going, no. What about the people who are your brothers and sisters? Are you taking care of them? Because all through the scriptures, you're going to read this. He says, listen, man, when it comes to the brotherhood, do good to all, but especially to those of the church. Do good to all, but especially the person who's sitting next to you. He says, man, I'm trying to tell you something. These are the people who are going to enter into my kingdom. I read Matthew 25 and I go, Christ has literally given us the blueprint for his return. You don't have to read this and go, what's it going to look like? He says, this is what I want you to do for my return. Your brothers and sisters, take care of them. Oh man, when I tell you I'm returning, be someone. It goes back to chapter 24. That ending of 25 goes back to the end of 24, which is the one who takes care of the household servants by feeding them, taking care of one another. He says, when I return, I'm going to be looking for those people. When I return, I'm going to be looking for the people who were prepared for me, that put everything in the basket. God, I got to get filled with oil. He says, man, when I return, what I'm looking for isn't just the wise ones. I'm looking for those who are hardworking in the ministry that I've given them. He says, that's what I'm after. The whole time, all you've been working on is wickedness and sin. He said, I'm looking for foolishness and hard work. I'm looking for those who care for their brothers and sisters. I'm looking for those who will visit those who are broken. Man, today I was so happy. I get to end. This is great. I was so happy today because we had a believer who doesn't go to our church. He's a veteran. He's hurt and he's broken. He can't get out of bed. He can't feed himself. And we get phone calls all the time from people who are like, hey, can you give us money? That's all they ask, really. And every day, Leah, who answers the phone, we have people saying, hey, I need money. Can you guys give us money? We say, hey, this is where you should go for money. We give them direction. But this guy, this elder gentleman, Charlie, he's watching probably right now. He's been watching our sermons online. He's like 80-something years old, and he called me up today, and Leah passed me the message and said, hey, I told him we probably can't help him, but I thought maybe you should call him, so I call him up. And for like 15 minutes, we're on the phone. And he's telling me, he goes, man, I just want you to know I'm a believer. I love Jesus. And he got shot in the face. It's a crazy story, but a bullet ricocheted off a wall. It hit him in the head, and he can't walk right now. And he said, you know, I'm at home. And I was just wondering, can someone come by? That's all I want. I just want to know if someone could come by. And then he said, and maybe they could bring me a sandwich too. I said, that would be great. And he said, I'd just like someone to sit with me for a little bit. Two things happened to me. The first thing I thought was, man, this is literally Matthew 25. Someone who's sick and in bed and loves the Lord. Man, what a killer opportunity. And I'm thinking, okay, when can I go? And I'm thinking, maybe I could go today. And I started thinking about people who would love to be a part of this, right? I think I know some people who would love to do this thing right now. So I started reaching out. I had Christian reach out. And then today, as soon as she put it out, someone reached back out to us and said, I would like to go. Can I get his address? And this person is doing what Matthew 25 tells us to do. They said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and I'm going to sit with this brother and sister of the Lord. And by the way, just so you know, the Father says, or Jesus says this, he says, who's my brother, my sister, my mother, my father? Not my father, my mother. Except for those who do the will of my Lord. He says, this is what makes my brother and sisters. And all of a sudden, I got this guy going out to go sit with a sick elderly man who can't get out of bed because he's bedridden. I was just praising the Lord when I got news about that. I was going, Father, thank you for letting me see people who are willing to give up their day to go sit with you. Now, I really believe for this guy who's going out to go sit with this guy named Charlie, that he's not going to go sit with Charlie. He's going to be with Charlie. But the Holy Spirit, the God of all creation, Jesus Christ, is going to be in the room with him. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, man, I want to have these opportunities more often. And I started praying and going, Father, I want to see more of these opportunities arise. And it's been on my heart. Bro, in this room, right here, there's broken people. There's people who have financial problems. There's people in this room right now who are like literally going through it over and over and over. And the Lord's saying, listen, when I show back up, I'm looking for the people who don't put their nose up at all these other people who are having a hard time in the church, but rather they see the brothers and sisters and say, well, let me track you down and be with you for a little bit. He says, man, that's what I'm looking for when I return. Man, when I return, what I'm looking for are hardworking people who don't give the excuse of why they couldn't do what I've called them to do. No. Who say, you know what? I will give up my time and show up. I don't care how tired I am. I won't let any excuse let me be lazy anymore. Now, he's looking for people who are going, you know what? I'm not going to pretend that it's not coming soon. I'm going to take every opportunity I can to make this happen. And Jesus lays out the blueprint for you and I and says, man, this is what I'm looking for. Matthew 25 and 24 have literally become my bread for the end times. You kept looking for all the cool theologies. He's going, I've already given you the instruction. This is what I'm looking for. Not post-tribulation, not pre-tribulation. No. I'm looking for these people. I'm not looking for those people who understand exactly how it's going to work. I'm looking for those people who say, if this is true, then this is what I got to be. I got to be someone who understands that you're coming. I got to be someone who's wise. I got to be someone who works hard and takes care of my brothers and sisters. So I'm going to pray. I want to end this thing because we're on time. But I want to encourage you. Don't let the end times be some theology. Don't let the end times be some theology for you. No. Let the end times be your preparation for you going, okay, Father, I see that you're coming. I saw all the signs in Matthew 24. I'm so excited about it. Let me get some things in order. Who can I go minister to? Father, how can I prepare my oil, which is to prepare myself for the midnight oil, or for the midnight walk? How can I prepare myself for your return? Father, what does it look like to take care of other people? What does it look like not to be lazy and give an excuse anymore? So, Father, I pray over everyone in this room. For Father, I know that God, Matthew 25 is literally, I don't know if anyone even caught the seriousness of what you're showing us in the scripture. But Father, I pray that tonight, Jesus, you open it up to us. That Father, you have instructed us. Hey, don't be a fool. Don't be wicked and believe I'm not coming. Don't be a fool and be unprepared, but be wise. Ask for wisdom and prepare yourself. No. Don't be lazy, but work hard while the time is near. No, take care of your brothers and sisters, for when you return, Jesus, you make it very clear that you will separate us in this way. The Father, you will separate us, Jesus, in these areas. The Father, you make it clear in every one of those parables that there's those you reward and then there's those you cast into outer darkness. And Father, I think we've all been concerning ourselves with just wickedness, but God, I pray that we wouldn't be fools anymore. Father, I pray that we wouldn't be lazy anymore. Father, I pray that rather we'd be wise, God. I pray that, like it says in James, that you would give us wisdom. Father, I pray right now, Jesus, that we would no longer excuse ourselves from hard work in your name. But Father, we would be people who don't believe the excuse and say, oh, obedience above all else. And lastly, Father, I pray that we would take on the call of caring for one another. That God, we would no longer play the isolated game of church. No, we would no longer be people who say, Father, it's me and you. It's a personal relationship between me and you. No, we go, no. Like we're reading in Corinthians, Father, the entire body is yours. And God, that we'd care for one another, seeing one another sick and broken, that we would show up. And Father, it wouldn't be a staff out of a church, but Father, it would be the brotherhood. It would be the sisterhood in this building right here, God. It would be brothers and sisters seeing needs and meeting them. Brothers and sisters seeing those who are broken, seeing those who even get in prison. We're not talking about just for the wicked things. We're talking about for righteous things. That God, we look to and fro and say, how can we serve my brothers and sisters? For Father, we don't want to be caught in the end being cast out because we had excuses, because we were foolish and weren't prepared, because we didn't think you're showing up. Because, Father, we are too concerned about our own duties and responsibilities that we ignored our brothers and sisters who are in need. So, Father, we pray that this would be wisdom to us tonight, that God would be able to apply it. So, Father, we love you and we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Guys, I love you. I want you to grab someone, say hi to them before you head out, and I will see you tomorrow night at 6:30. Peace.